If you have your Bibles, you can take them out and turn to Daniel 6 today. And I saw something in the story of Daniel I have never seen before. And I have preached on this, I have read it, I have taught it. But don't you love the Word of God? It's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? So we can always learn something new. It doesn't matter how long you've been, what they call it, in the faith. We can always learn something new. And that's where you should come to church, with an attitude of, Lord, I want to come and be a learner. Amen? Because when you are a learner, that means you are open to hear what God has to say. So you can always get something, even if the person is the most monotone, terrible speaker you've ever heard. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, he can give you nuggets in the midst of all that. Amen? So in Daniel 6, I won't go over the story out every word because I know most of you already know this, but it's the story of Daniel. And Daniel had been set above everybody else by King Darius. And the men in that region that came from that region did not like it that an outsider was above them. You know what? The world is never going to like it when you're above them. They're just not. So you'll notice as churches or people in leadership that love the Lord go up higher, the enemy tries to bring them down even more. Amen? But guess what? We're victorious. Amen? Because why? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to fear men. We don't have to fear the enemy. Amen? We fear the Lord. That's what we do. That's the right perspective. So Daniel is in this place, and there's jealousy. And can I tell you something? Jealousy is always bad. In my kids' class, we call it the green-eyed monster. Because that green-eyed monster of jealousy will always make you do something that you never would have done. Ever. In your right mind. But jealousy drives us there. And that's what we see here. There was jealousy in all of these other men, all the satraps and the wise men of the land. They were all jealous of Daniel. So they got together, in verse 4, they got together to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault. Did you hear that? They could find no charge or fault. That meant he was obeying the law of the land. He was doing everything he was supposed to be doing. So they couldn't find a charge in that. And then continue on, it says, because he was faithful, nor were there any error or fault found in him. Is this Jesus? No, this is Daniel. What does this tell us? It tells us we can strive for a place that we can be like this. This is just a man. And this is pre-Holy Spirit. So don't let the world tell you or even religious thoughts tell you that, well, I'm just a sinner. You know, I'll just squeak by. No, raise your standards. Raise your standards. God says, be holy because I am holy. Amen? So we need to raise our standards as Christians. And maybe if we raise our standards as Christians, the church would look different, like it's supposed to. Amen? Continue on. It says in verse 5, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless, somebody say unless. Okay, so here's where they thought they were getting tricky. Unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Here's where they knew there was a distinction. So this is where they got creative. And they went to King Darius and they proposed a plan. And they said, how about we set a time frame? And we only all pray to you. And Darius, being the ungodly man he was, went, absolutely, let me sign. Everyone prays to me. Everybody exalts me. Wow. Right? He let his ego get in the way. Even though he really liked Daniel. So if you really like someone that's a Christian and that loves the Lord, do you think that he never heard about God from Daniel? I think he heard about God from Daniel all the time because it can't help but come out of you when you love the Lord and you're in his presence all the time. Amen? And so he signs this into contract. 30 days that you can't pray to anyone but the king. And now in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. I love Daniel. This man is bold about his faith, right? It says he went home and went into his upper room. Okay, so he's not hiding in a closet. He's not behind closed doors. He went up into his room, into the upper room, with his windows open. He is literally putting it out there, right? He is saying, I don't care what you sign. I don't care what you do. This is what I do, and it will not change. And he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks. I've always thought of the pray, right? He prayed, yeah, but then he gave thanks. What is giving thanks? It is praise. So Daniel prays and then he praises in front of everybody for all to see. Was he doing that to shine for himself? No. It says this is what he had always done. And that's how those men knew that they could get him. Because everybody knew 3 times a day, Daniel went out to pray and praise. 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 He did it. It was his lifestyle. So they knew they could catch him in it. Maybe I should ask this question of the church, not just this church, but the church as a whole. Could the world catch us because they know we pray and praise? Do they know that about you? Do they know that about me, that I pray and praise? Do they know if they make a rule if it says you can't pray to any other God but this God, they can catch you? If the answer is, I don't know, that needs to change. Because people need to know you love your God more than anything else in the world. And you need to testify, and you need to be an example to others that we pray and we praise. Because what does praise do? Say it with me. Power released after I start expecting. That's what happens. But you can't get in a Daniel situation, listen to me, church family, by starting yesterday. Are you hearing me? This was a lifestyle that he led. We need to live a lifestyle of prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. We pray. We pray a lot. But what about praise? What about praise? Sometimes I hear people give testimonies, and Pastor George was giving a testimony about his dad that had been diagnosed with liver cancer, and they said he was only going to live a year. And he lived years afterwards. And when he died, they couldn't find any cancer in his liver anywhere. I'm shouting at home. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I've heard that story before, but I was just, oh, God, you're so good. You could have heard a pin drop in that sanctuary. And I was like, people, hello, miracle here, right? That's why I love Redeemed Church. When we testify and we give you the praise reports, you praise. You clap your hands. You shout, right? What is that doing? That is releasing more power. Because we're saying, God, this wasn't man. This was you. And you praise how many times during a football game? How many times do you praise during the Olympics? How many times? Are you listening to me? We praise about things all the time, so why not praise about what God does? If you're somewhere and you get a praise report, like I was at home when I got that sound bar, it's like, yes, woo, thank you. I'm like grabbing everybody. Look, look at this, look at this. I'm texting everyone. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right? I was praising the Lord out in front of my house when we figured out how to put the stage up. I'm like, thank you, Lord. This is so awesome. Lane, isn't this so awesome? Look at this, Lane. He's like, Mom, I'm right here, right? But you give praise. Why? Because you're giving God the glory he deserves, but you are also igniting your expectation for that power to be released again. And I don't know about you, but we don't know what's ahead tomorrow. You don't know. Daniel didn't know that one day there would be men that would be upset with him and jealous of him, and they would create a law that would end up getting him thrown into the lion's den. He did not know that. But he didn't need to fear because he'd already set into motion a lifestyle. I want to challenge us today as a church. We need to be living a lifestyle of prayer and praise. Why? Because you have no idea when your lion's den might pop up. No idea. No idea the day that you turn around and there's a lion's den. And if you are not ready, you are going to bow your knee to the lions. Because you will be in fear of that. But I'm here to tell you today, Daniel did not bow his knee in fear to any lion. In fact, the lions bowed their knee to Daniel. The Lord sent an angel to shut their mouths. Now listen to me. Lions don't always come in the form of lions. Are you hearing me today, church? Sometimes they come in the form of people. Sometimes they come in the form of organizations. Sometimes they come in the form of government. But if God can shut the mouth of an animal that is starving and is more than ready to eat this man, he can shut the mouth of anyone. It says in Isaiah that he will refute, he will close up the mouths of those that rise against you. Are you listening this morning? But how can he do that? Because you are living a lifestyle of praise. So when Daniel was lowered in there, the power that he had already been praising, the power he had been living a lifestyle of, came down into that place like a boom. And every mouth of every lion went, hmm? And I don't care what people say. I don't care what people paint. I'm sorry, but Daniel was not on his knees like this. Or like this. Daniel, I believe, was on his feet shouting, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Look what you're doing, God. This is incredible. Because I know I'm a human, right? And I know what I would do if I was in a lion's cage and they were all around me with their mouths shut doing nothing. I would be shouting for joy. Oh, God, you're so good. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, God, you are so awesome. Oh, my goodness, this is the best ever. You've done a lot for me, God, but this is pretty amazing, right? Because if he lived a lifestyle of praise, that meant he prayed how many times when he was in the lion's den? At least three. Are you listening to me? He prayed and he praised and he prayed and he praised and he prayed and he praised. This is so awesome. You want to see yourself protected in the future? Then you learn to pray and praise. Woo! Grab your tithes and offerings. You may be thinking, well, what does this have to do with my finances? Everything. Everything. You got taxes to do coming up here? Pray, praise. Pray, praise. Pray, praise. You have a need? Pray, praise. Pray, praise. Pray, praise. Why? Because God is going to release his power onto your life and onto your situation, and it is not going to turn out like everybody else thinks it's going to. It's going to turn out supernatural to where people will be talking about your testimony thousands of years later. How about that? Because that's what we're doing with Daniel. We're still praising the Lord for his testimony. Grab your tithes and offerings. I'll quit. Whew! God, I just thank you so much for these amazing stories that you're showing us, God. You're showing us that we can live a lifestyle of prayer and praise, and that power is released when we start expecting. And that power goes before us. Even before we get there, God, you are already preparing the way. You are already closing the mouths of the lions. You're closing the mouth of our enemy. And we thank you for that, Father. And as we give our tithes and our offerings today, Father, we praise you for them. We praise you that we're able to give, that we're able to sow our seed, and we praise you that you are multiplying that seed and that we're going to have a harvest that is 100-fold so we can continue to give to every good work so that when people look and see, they go, look what the Lord has done in that person's life. And we will be able to say, yes, let me praise the Lord and tell you about it. And Father, I just pray for an excitement in our hearts, Lord, an excitement about what praise does, an excitement that will overwhelm fear, overwhelm anxiety, because we serve a good God who watches over us and protects us so we can praise him when we're at home, we can praise him when we're on the way to the lion's den, and we can praise him all the way through the lion's den, and praise him when we're out. Let our lives be a life of praise. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing every seed that's sown today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen. Well, we're continuing on this message entitled, Go for Gold. And I believe that today is the last day of the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. I think the closing ceremonies are today, and some great stories that have happened there over in Italy. But that was part of the inspiration for this message that the Lord gave me. I was asking him toward the end of last year, beginning of the year, kind of what direction to go in. And I heard the phrase, go for gold. Amen. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You can turn there if you want, but it's right in the notes if you have the notes page there. We'll eventually be looking at Acts chapter. No, actually, we'll have that in there too. But 2 Corinthians 4 is where we're going to eventually get to around the bend. Right? But let's start with the foundation text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Somebody say, go for gold. How about say this, I'm going for gold. Well, Pastor Steve, isn't it a sin to go for gold? Isn't money evil? Isn't gold evil? No, the Bible says the love of money is the root of evil. But we're talking about, of course, what exactly this scripture is speaking about in terms of being a profitable and useful servant, son or daughter to Jesus, to the Lord, right? And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20, 21, the Word of God says this, but in a great house, how many know heaven is a great place? Nobody gets there and is disappointed. Oh man, I thought it would be bigger. Wow, is this all there is to it? No. Heaven is a great house. Glory to God forevermore. And in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Somebody say gold and silver. That's what they're, isn't that what they're after in the Olympics? The gold, the silver, the bronze, right? But also there are vessels of wood and clay, some for honor. Somebody say honor. And some for dishonor, right? Therefore, if anyone, somebody say if anyone, well, Pastor Steve, I thought God decided if I was gold or silver or wood or clay. No. It says, if anyone, somebody say that's me, right? Cleanses himself from the latter. That means I can cleanse myself from the wood and clay list if I want to. And then he will be a vessel of honor, the silver and gold list, right? Sanctified, and here's the difference, sanctified and useful for the master. And I'm pretty sure I know about you that you want to be, especially in these days we're living in, you want the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the angels of God to look at you and say, now there is a sanctified and useful son or daughter, right? Sanctified means clean, set apart, right? Useful for the master, prepared for every good work, prepared for every good work. I don't want Jesus to look at me and say, he's my son, but he's kind of useless. And I think there's a lot of people in these days that we're living in, it's just true, right? That they just don't do anything. Looking for a free ride. You know, people still looking for freebies and handouts, and they can, you know, take advantage of their adult parents, and they themselves are my age, some of them, and just kind of just dead weight. And in the kingdom of God, God has sons and daughters like that, that are, they're sons and daughters, but they're just not useful to him. And for me, that's, I'm not going to accept that. For one thing, it's not because I want to be this great thing God can use, yes, but ultimately it's because of what he did for me. The reason why I want to be someone that he can say, I can use that guy. I can use that person, right? So it's a heart condition. I was listening to the minister's conference at Eagle Mountain International Church that was back in January. I'm listening to it during the week, and Jeremy Pearson's was speaking, and we're going to hear him at this men's advance at up at Karis this next week, and just an awesome man of God, great church there, Legacy Church in Colorado. But he was talking about the difference between people that say hard work, right, versus heart work, right? And God isn't looking for hard work. He's looking for people that are willing to put in the heart work. Amen? People that are willing to give him their hearts and really get down to, he talked a lot about motive. What's the motive behind what you're doing? And I was meditating on that, and it's like you come to God, I don't come to him, and we all have to check our hearts on this, right? Do we come to him because of what he can do for me? Or do I come to him because of what he did for me? Now that's a big difference. That is a big difference. Do I come to him because of what he can do for me, or do I come to him because of what he did for me? Hallelujah. Amen. And that's a difference between gold and clay and wood. A heart. It's a heart condition. Amen. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And we've been kind of comparing this to the heart of a champion, right? Championships and winning the gold and the big prize, right? And it says this: do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So there are prizes, there are awards, there's a rapture coming. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. There's a rapture coming. It could be before we say amen today. And all, we finished the service in the clouds, right? And Jesus is coming back. And after the rapture happens, there's a 7-year tribulation period that happens here on the planet Earth. It's all in the book, right? Antichrist and 7 years of tribulation. And during that time, the family of God is in heaven, and there's a banquet, an award ceremony. And just, it's amazing just to imagine what that will be like, right? And there will be highlight reels of all the things that people have done over their lives for Jesus. It's not going to be a negative thing where here's where people fell and flopped and failed. No, that's completely opposed to the blood of Jesus. But what you will notice is there probably may be certain people that just aren't in the highlight reel much. But they're there. Somebody say, I'd rather be there than not at all, right? But somebody say, get after it, man. Be a soul winner. Be in church. You can give yourself a pat on the back for being in church, right? Be living for God, doing the best we can for him, like someone else's life depends on it. Amen. And to me, that's what really gets me, is somebody else's life may be impacted by what I'm doing today. Amen. And that's where the true gold is souls that come to Jesus. Through your testimony, through your witness, through your life, people you may not even realize are watching you, and it's making an impact on them. I went to Azusa Pacific University for 1 year and studied there, and the roommate that I had originally was, we weren't really compatible, and he was more into the party scene. This is a Christian university, and he's into the kind of the party scene and sex and all, you know, the things college guys are interested in. And toward the beginning or the middle of the semester, I met another guy down the hall that was, we were a lot more like each other, right? And this other guy teamed up with another, and we just mutually said, hey, you know what, let's just trade roommates. So we did. And the roommate I got, his name was Brian, and he's lived in Carson, California down there. And the first thing Brian wanted me to know was that he's not a Christian. I'm at a Christian university. And maybe, I don't know if he may be one of the only people at the university that openly said, I'm not a Christian. And I was like, That's up to you, bro. That's your thing. Now, he wasn't living a crazy life. He just didn't believe. He had his reasons. I don't know. Have no idea. I never pushed it on him once. Never preached the gospel to him once. We just day to day, we're together doing our thing, going about our, and we had a lot of things in common, a lot of fun. And after that year, I didn't go back. But we did go back on a family vacation, and I visited the campus and connected with Brian there. And he came up to me and he said, "Steve, because of our relationship last year, I decided to be a Christian." That's remarkable, right? And so if Brian is the only reason that I went down there, it's worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. So you just don't know how you live, how you talk, how you carry yourself, seeing your daily walk with Jesus might just put somebody over the edge. And on the same account, if I'm not, if I act like I am, but I'm not, that could push somebody over the edge too, the wrong way. Amen. So this is serious business with God, right? I want to be the one that, or a one, not the one, but one of his sons and daughters that says, he looks at me and says, "Now there's a useful servant, a useful man or woman of God." Amen. And we've been looking at, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, all this past, what is this, our fifth week or something? And we've been comparing it to athletics and championships and all these kind of things, the mentality of a champion. And we found words like strength and endurance and mindset and study, right? And there's two left, pursuit and humility. We'll do the humility next week. But today we want to talk about the word pursuit. Somebody say pursuit. Amen. And the athlete of interest today, I was thinking of Ella, I think, a little bit with this one. Ella loves racing, right? And her dad loves the, he has, I don't know how many remote-controlled cars and racing. But I thought about Mario Andretti. And there he is. He had won the Indy 500. And he's a good example of a champion as well. And the quote there is from him this week. And it says this. This is from Mario Andretti. He says, "Desire is the key to motivation. Desire is the key to motivation, but it's determination and commitment to an unrelenting pursuit." Somebody say pursuit, right? "Of your goal that will enable you to attain the success you seek." Hallelujah. An unrelenting pursuit. Somebody say, "I'm on an unrelenting pursuit of Jesus. I will not quit, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter how it sounds. I will not let down. I will not let go, because he's not letting go of me, so why should I let go of him? No matter how it looks or feels." Amen. Well, Mario Andretti, it's kind of cool. As I was looking this up, he turns 85 next Saturday. But I bet he didn't go 85. There was a guy yesterday. I'm on the 205, coming back this way. And I see him in the rearview mirror. And he's weaving in and out of traffic. And it's this really nice BMW. But the guy's driving like a psycho. You don't drive like that on the freeway around other humans. But he was. And I knew, don't switch lanes. Don't speed up. Don't slow down. Just let him do his thing. And I always, immediately, I go to, "I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus." And I call that guy busted. In Jesus' name, and you're not going to hurt anybody. And man, he cut in front of me. He wove around me and cut in front. He must have came inches from the front corner of my car. If I hadn't have seen him coming, it could have caused me to, you know, do something crazy myself, right? But the Holy Ghost showed me he was coming. I said the Holy Ghost showed me. Somebody say, "He will show me what is to come." And he wasn't Mario Andretti, but he was kind of driving like probably Mario had to sometimes. But at least it was, you know, you're supposed to drive like that in a race. Well, maybe not. Among race car drivers, there's probably some, "Hey, what are you doing out there? You did that thing and caused everybody to, you know, whatever." But I wanted to read to you. I had it here ago. Where'd he go? There's Mario. Okay, so here we go. Born February 28th, 1940. And this is a great American story, too, because they came here as immigrants and became citizens of the country. Somebody say became citizens of the country. They came here with $125 to their name. His parents brought them over from a tough, they called it an exodus, whatever was happening in their land in the Italy area. And they moved here to New York. Him and his twin, he has a twin brother. And it's just a great, I want to actually do some more research on some of those details. But born February 28th, 1940 in Montana, Italy, Andretti immigrated to the U.S. when he was 15 years old. The Andretti family arrived to New York on June 16th, 1955 with $125 to their name. A year before leaving Italy, Mario and his twin brother Aldo made their way to Monza to the Italian Grand Prix. At that time, motor racing was the most popular sport in Italy. A few days after arriving in America, the brothers were astounded to learn that a racetrack was essentially in their backyard in Pennsylvania. The brothers began building their own race cars, learning the ins and outs along the way, and soon enough, they were racing. Mario Andretti, and this is amazing, I did not know this, is one of the most successful Americans in the history of racing. He is one of only two drivers to have won races in Formula One, IndyCar, the World Sports Car Championship, and NASCAR. He has also competed in races in midget car racing and in sprint car racing. To date, he remains the only driver to win an Indianapolis 500, a Daytona 500, and the Formula One Championship. All in all, Andretti has 109 wins across major circuits. Isn't that remarkable? So let me read you his quote again. Perhaps it means a little more, right? Desire is the key to motivation. How many desire to live for God, right? But it's determination and commitment. Somebody say it's heart work. Right? Not hard work, it's heart work. Determination and commitment to an unrelenting pursuit of your goal that will enable you to attain the success you seek. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? And we've also been using the Apostle Paul as a great example of a championship mindset and going for the gold. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue. Somebody say pursue. It's interesting to think about, you know, so many of us get so focused on as Christians what you're not supposed to do. As a Christian, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I remember when I learned to ride a bicycle. They took me to an empty parking lot at a school, and there was one car in the parking lot, one car. And they said, okay, just whatever you do, don't hit that car. So I took off, don't hit the car, don't hit the car, don't hit the car, don't hit the car! Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin! Right? How many know it's a lot more than what you don't do as a Christian? It's what do you do? What do you do? There's a lot more that we do than what we don't do. Right? Isn't that just one of the lies of the devil that tell people don't be a Christian because you can't do nothing? Oh, yeah, you can. The greatest adventure of all adventures is living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. Amen? Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue, here we go, righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's Paul said that. Amen. I'd say Paul is a credible source. Amen, right? Praise the Lord. And the word follow or pursue defines as to press on. Somebody say press on, right? If you fall, get back up, right? If you mess up, fess up and get up, and move on. Don't dwell on it. Don't meditate on it. Just get up and come to Jesus and get back in the race. There was one of the Olympic races I watched. It was a downhill ski like moguls. And it was two guys going against you just in, you know, this Olympics. It was, I think one guy was an American, the other guy was French or Italian, I don't remember what it was. I think it was the American guy crashed. I mean, just, it was ugly. Just looked painful. And he got up and just kept going. Didn't even come close to the guy that crossed the line. But do you know he won? Because the other guy went out of bounds for a second. If he wouldn't have gotten up and just, like, I saw another guy that crashed and just got up and threw his skis and throwing a hissy fit out there. He got up and kept going, and he won because he refused to quit. No matter how it looks, how it feels, somebody say, get back in. Because God has this way, by the Holy Ghost, to catch you up fast. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, the blood works fast. Amen. Press on, figuratively of one who is in a race, runs swiftly to reach the goal, to seek after eagerly. Somebody say, is my heart in it? Is my heart in this? Or am I just doing it to do it? Earnestly endeavor to acquire. And that really brings us back to motive. Like, why do I want to be gold in the household of it? Well, I think for one thing, it's an option. How many know for those guys that are competing for the gold, it's like, because it's available, it's there, someone's going to win it. And I'm in this, I'm in the hunt, so I'm going to go for it. But it's not so much to show off, right? But it's about Jesus saying to me, that's what he told me to call this message. He didn't say, go for the wood. And if I choose in my sovereignty, I will sovereignly turn the wood to gold. No, he didn't say that. He said, go for the gold. So you don't let anybody talk you out of that, including yourself or other people, well-meaning people. Well, Pastor Steve, what about that humility thing? We'll talk next week about what that means. It doesn't mean, humility doesn't mean go for the wood. No. Hallelujah. I love these athletes that win the championship, and the first thing out of their mouth is, first, before I answer that question, I just want to say, thank you, Jesus, right? Glory to God. And thank you to my mom and my dad, you know, all these things like that. They're giving thanks, of expressing, they're giving glory to the rest of their team, right? It's a great, it's heart work going on there. And it's nothing uglier than a person, there's some quotes that I chose not to read, because I know some things about those certain people. It's like, I don't really think that's the kind of guy I want to emulate. Amen. Because it's all about them. That's another thing that Jeremy Pearson said in his teaching, was he taught his whole family to say this, when you go, especially when you're in ministry together, but whatever you're doing, basically he said, don't think about you. I choose, Lord, today I refuse to think about me. And I refuse, and again, Lord, later on, I refuse to think about me today. This is about others. Amen? And that is a championship mindset. What I'm doing is for other people. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to look at, there was something specific as we, you know, sort of draw near to the close today. We're drawing near, but I don't know exactly where it is. So we'll follow the Holy Ghost, right? But there was something he pointed out to me in this that was spectacular to me, that the word pursuit and the word persecute are the same word in the Bible. And it got me thinking, in Acts chapter, again, using Paul as the example, how many know Paul didn't used to be Paul? He was Saul before he was Paul, right? And in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, you can read the whole chapter, and we did, I think. We went into this in more depth in a message or two ago. And it says this, that Paul fell to the ground. He heard a voice. He heard a voice. saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's the same word. How many know that some people are pursuing him to destroy him? I believe that every human being on the planet is pursuing God for one reason or another reason. There are people right now on this planet that are pursuing Jews and Christians to kill them, or to discredit them, or to remove them from office, or do whatever they got to do. But what they don't realize is who they're really coming after. In the next line where Jesus is speaking and he says to Saul, Saul says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And Paul could have said, I've never met you before. I don't know who you are. I'm not coming after you. I'm on my way to these crazy people to arrest them and put them in jail and prosecute them. There are people in this world that pursue him because they love him and want to know him. And there's other people in this world that are in pursuit of him to destroy him. And the real interesting thing is, one of those groups of people will obtain mercy, and the other one will obtain judgment from the same person. It's heart work. Somebody say it's heart work. And a lot of the people that say they're coming after God's people think they're doing it for God. Have you noticed that? I just think that's phenomenal to think about. But Paul, or actually Saul, before he became Paul, made a very good decision. Because I believe he was at the point where Jesus was saying, look, which way are you going? Because this is over. I believe Paul had a decision right there that made a decision that saved his own skin. It saved his own life because it was going one way or another at that point. And Paul decided, you know what? When he said, who are you, Lord? I've heard people say that was like the shortest salvation prayer in the Bible. He's like, okay. All right. And he chose to repent, give his life to the Lord, and he became the greatest spokesperson on behalf of God's people, didn't he? In fact, for a long time, nobody trusted him. Nobody trusted him. Maybe in a little bit different scale, Elon Musk. We pray for these people, right? Here's a guy that's this brilliant, you know, genius, and he offended everybody on the left because of his support of Donald Trump and questioning freedom, like we should all be able to say what we want online. And then he did something later to offend everybody on the right. And so for a while, it's like nobody liked him, really, right? In a lot of cases. This does not speak for everybody, but it's a good example of Paul was in that spot. But how many know, no matter what spot you're in, if Jesus is there with you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If you're with him, if you're responding to him, just give him time. Somebody say, just give him time. Give him time. Come after him every day. Seek him every day. It's heart work more than hard work. So many people just think if they do enough good things and not do enough bad things, that somehow I'll make it in, if there is an in. If there is that place up there somewhere, if they call it karma or whatever, you know, if I just don't do enough bad things and do enough good things. There was one billionaire, sports owner that passed away a few years ago, known for being a giver, supported a lot of nonprofits. And I asked the Lord about that. I was like, what about this guy? And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said he thought his good works would save him. No matter how big, you can't write a big enough check at the gate. Right? What we need to do is check our hearts. Amen. Glory to God. So am I persecuting him or am I in pursuit of him? Why am I in pursuit of him? Is it to build my own thing, my own kingdom? Or do I really want to know him and serve him and love him? That's the difference between Judas and Peter. That was the difference between David and Saul. Right? They both knew him. But one loved him and one did not love him. One was more about themselves and their own thing. Hallelujah. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll close with this. I meant to read this a few weeks ago, but we'll get to it now. This shows the change in Saul's heart. This is just one example, right? And now he's Paul, right? And he says this. We're just going to read much of this chapter, right? It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Somebody say mercy. You see, the people that are in pursuit of God because they love God will obtain his mercy. The people that are pursuing him to persecute him and try to kill him are going to experience his judgment. There will be an end of the line. And that's why we need to pray for these people, right? But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who did not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, somebody say this treasure, right? In earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is the mindset of a champion right here. This is pursuit in the right sense, right? Persecuted, right? But not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, somebody say the same spirit of faith. You see, the gold is the spirit of faith, church. Hallelujah. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I have spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Rick Renner taught on this at the minister's conference that we need to be real good about making sure our hearts and our mouths are lined up together. He was saying that's why a lot of people in faith will confess things and not see any fruit of it because they really don't believe what they're saying. So it takes time with Jesus. Right? Somebody say, Lord, make sure my heart and my mouth are lined up with your word, right? Make sure, in other words, make sure I believe what I'm really saying. And we can check our own selves on that by just listening to ourselves. What am I saying? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many will cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Somebody say to the glory of God. Why am I going for the gold? For the glory of God. Not for the glory of Steve. For the glory of God. I want people to look at my life and say, glory to God. Andrew Womack says his own mother told him, don't you ever forget, Andrew, none of this is because of you. I know who you are. You could never have done this on your own. Right? It's to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Somebody say day by day. This is a daily walk, right? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and you can read about the things Paul went through, and you can say, wow, light affliction? The things that he went through? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Somebody say glory to God. It's our focus. Somebody say, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up on our feet and we'll thank him and praise him for these words today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him for his words today. And just take a moment to check your own heart to say, Father, am I doing the heart work or am I just thinking hard work is what it takes? And just give him your heart to say, Lord, I just give you my heart today. Every motive, every thought that you would line me up with your word, that I would be pursuing you for the right reasons, not for what you can do for me, but because of what you've already done for me. And just say, Lord, make me a gold vessel. I choose to go for gold, and I ask you by the power of your Spirit to make me a gold vessel, sanctified and useful to you. And I will continue to pursue and come after your plan for my life every single day to find that place alone, the alone time with you, the quiet times with you, where everything else is shut out. And I can just hear your voice and be with you. And just say, use me, Lord. Glorify yourself in me. Shine through me that someone else would see my life and be drawn to you themselves. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.